And so to another massive health problem and another solution. Mercury, a dreaded neurotoxin. It affects the brains of about 60,000 babies a year in America alone. And the Dean of Applied Sciences at RMIT University, Professor Suresh Bhargava, says the source is coal-burning power stations.
EP estimate in the States, they claim up to 60,000 babies are born with a mercury-related disease every year.
60,000?
60,000 babies. Just in the U.S. alone, because that is the studies what the American EPA has done. And
that's in a country where presumably there is a degree of caution about the release of mercury.
Yes.
So worldwide, it must be enormous.
I'm thinking probably hundreds of thousands for sure, particularly the country like China, the country like India, where the energy requirement is increasing day by day. And the main source of their energy is also the thermal power stations, the coal burning energy, and mercury is coming in the air through coal as well. So the level of the problem is enormous in those countries where one third of the population in the world lives.
And you're telling me that in the coal that's burned in power stations, mercury is intrinsic?
Yes, that is a fact. The clean coal, like in Australia, they have a less amount of the mercury, but where the coal is not that clean and has a various amount of the mercury, yes, it is an issue.
Do you have to burn a large amount of coal to get a substantial amount of mercury?
You do not need a large and substantial amount of the mercury in the air to see its biological effect. You need only parts per million levels. The amount of the mercury is burned through the thermal power stations, through the different type of refineries, including the aluminium refineries and smelters. That is a significant enough to cause a major concern.
What about mercury that's in the soil being released by various other means, say the soil in Bangladesh or the soil even in Florida?
The mercury is, in fact, when it releases into the atmosphere, it is an inorganic mercury. When it comes to the soil by biological process, it converts into a toxic substance known as methyl mercury. And this methyl mercury, when goes into the riverways and the soil systems, going into the rivers and water, and it is eaten by the fish or the seafood. And when this seafood is accumulated by the humans, then it goes into the brain and where the neurological effects can be observed, where it causes the problem.
So it's a big problem, and it causes, as you say, a disease, Minamata disease, as it was well known in Japan.
Yeah.
Shocking thing, which causes deformity in babies and children.
Oh, yeah. And also the mentally retarded type of babies and all those sort of things.
Before I ask you about your own particular work to do with gold and filtering that might have an effect, what would you say about controlling emissions from coal-powered power stations? What would you like to see there?
That's a very important question, Robin, you ask, because the controlling is the one issue where everybody will agree that what amount of the mercury is coming out, what is the level is acceptable or not acceptable, so that controversy is over once you have a monitoring system in place. And once you understand the scale of the problem, then you go to the step two, is that how to remove the mercury. So sensing the mercury, observing the level of the mercury from all these chimneys is a paramount. It should be taken as a top priority at the moment.
Does your work involve removing it at source by a particular means?
Well, that is the second step. Our work is to monitor this mercury directly from these streams. And the second step could be, that is the ultimate aim, we should be able to develop a device where we can remove from the point of source where it is entering into the atmosphere.
Using gold?
Yeah, you know that in the ancient time that mercury has been used to extract the gold. The gold and mercury has a very close friendship.
An affinity.
Affinity. And then we want to use these properties of these two elements to sense the mercury. And now, the normal sensors, what has been used, they are sometimes not very effective in this cocktail environment where the mercury is one of the contaminants. What we have done, using the nanotechnology, we have created a very sensitive surface by the transmetallations methods, having a gold spikes, which is 180% or 200% more sensitive than the normal things. And they are also not very much affected by this cocktail.
Twice as sensitive.
Yes.
Where have you used this?
At the moment, that our research has shown that this is quite robust and quite successful at the laboratory level. We have taken the Australian patent as well in this area. Now, the second step is that with our industrial partners, we are now developing a device, which we try to put on one of these chimneys where these contaminants are coming for a pilot plant trials. And then from there, we will go to see that how it can be effective. But so far, so good. Every indication is coming that we are moving towards the right way.
And you can spot the mercury when it's coming out. Now, how can you adapt that, as you hinted at before, to collect the mercury?
Okay, the idea is there that once we sense the mercury, then this next step could be that we can put a mercury absorber in there. And then we can engineer in such a way that once the mercury reaches to a certain levels and we observe them, that we have a desorption process. And after having desorption process, this mercury can be collected separately.
On so, huge scales? How much?
Mind you that mercury is coming in the atmosphere at the parts per million levels. It's still dangerous. So the real challenge is to developing the high capacity absorber in there, where we can keep this absorber online, which can work for months and absorb the mercury, and developing a techniques where the mercury can be dissolved and then whole absorbent can become reactivate again, so that the process continues.
Mercury capture and storage.
Yes.
First time we met, Suresh, was, of course, in Delhi, in India, and you were working then with a professor in Pune on catalytic converters for those vehicles which produce such horrible pollution. Is that work still going on, the improvement of the catalytic converter?
Oh, yes. I'm really delighted that you remember that, Robin. That was my passion. My whole research is directed towards the environmental solutions. That is from where it starts about 15, 16 years ago. We try to develop a cleaning systems where we can clean the poisoned catalyst, and also developing the materials which can be cheaper and also effective towards the removing this, the deadly cocktail coming out of this non-catalyst car and all those sort of things. The technology has gone to this fourth stage where the modern car and having the multi-fuel injections in the cars and everything. So that pollution has come down to a reasonable control. But still, there's a lot more education, a lot more work is needed, because people do not take the car from the road if the catalytic converter is not working. So it is very important that people should be aware of that, and also aware of their responsibility about the nature, about the atmosphere where we live.
That's Professor Suresh Bhargava in Melbourne, and he's been honoured recently in India and Australia with major awards. He's Dean of Applied Sciences at RMIT University.